Take your Bibles and let's go to Revelation. Let's take our Bibles once again and we're going to turn to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter number 3. Revelation chapter 3. A lot going on this time of year, isn't there? Man, it's just, we've got a men's Bible study coming up Tuesday morning. Don't forget about that at 6:30 a.m. And I hope you can come out for that. And then we've got Walk Through Bethlehem, 2 weekends of that coming up, starting next weekend. I just finished up a 6-week Bible Institute class that I really enjoyed teaching on Saturday mornings. I know that we've had some other classes that just finished up in the Bible Institute. And with Thanksgiving and Christmas around the corner, it's just a really busy time. And I appreciate so much your faithfulness. Revelation chapter 3. And I want you to go over to verse 14, please. Here in our text, Jesus is addressing the church at Laodicea. And in verse 14, I'll just read a few verses here. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, Jesus said, this is what I want you to write to these people. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, Jesus said, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art what? Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do you get the idea that Jesus is not pleased with this church? In verse 19 is the command. Look at it. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then here's the instruction for them. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. To be zealous means, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means intense. It means to be hot, to glow. Well, you know, right away when you read that definition, to be hot, you can understand why he said, be zealous, be hot. Because he just got done telling them, you're not hot and you're not cold. He said, you're lukewarm. He said, I want you to be zealous. I want you to be red hot, on fire, for me. I don't want you to be lukewarm. Romans 12:11 up on the screen says, Paul's instruction to the church was to not be slothful in business. But rather, he said, be, say it with me, fervent in spirit. And then I'm to be fervent in spirit as I what? Serve the Lord. In other words, God desires that his children possess an attitude, a heart attitude, a fervency. He desires that we approach whatever service we do in his work with passion. He wants us to be passionate about it. If I'm passionate about something, it means that I have this intense driving feeling for something. That was the problem here with this church. They lacked passion, didn't they? They lacked zeal. They lacked fervency. Whatever you want to call it, that they lacked it. And you know, I was thinking about that. Now, you know, this church here, It's so easy to lose your passion as you serve in the Lord's work. It's very easy to lose your passion. You know, I've been here for 20-something years now, and I tell you, it is tough. It's easy to lose that passion. I was thinking about Walk Through Bethlehem, and I thought, you know, that's on everybody's mind right now. Next week, we begin this Christmas outreach, and it's an awesome outreach, and we're expanding it to 6 nights this year, and I'm hoping for at least 10,000 people, you know, I really do, for to come. If the weather holds out, I don't see why we can't hit 10,000. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, I believe we can. If the weather holds out, we've got good weather, I think we can do it. But, you know, I was thinking, this is the eighth or ninth year that we've done this ministry. I lose track. I'm not sure how many, but it's eighth or ninth. Many of you here have served in this ministry for years. How many of you have served and walked through Bethlehem at least 5 years? Raise your hand. Wow. Okay, so, I mean, a lot of hands there. We can end up approaching this ministry with a ho-hum, careless, somewhat lackadaisical attitude. We really can. We really can. You know, it's like, well, all right, you know what? Been there, done that. Another year. Here we go. Not pray. Not depend on God. Not trust Christ to work through us. You know, first year you do it, you're like so nervous. If you're an actor, you're like, Lord, you got to do it through me because I can't do it. You know, then the second year, you're like, well, Lord, sure would appreciate your help. Third year, Lord, I think I got this. Fourth year, you know, fifth year, sixth year, y'all get the point. You know, well, I've handed out cookies 8 years. There's nothing to it. Here, shove a cookie in their mouth. You know, first year you did it. First year you did it. You're like so nervous, you know, and Lord, you got to do this through me. I just want to impact lives. I want to be able to be the best cookie giver there ever was. And that, Lord, I want to impact somebody's life as I do that. And then, you know, you can get very ho-hum, very lackadaisical. God's desire is that we approach our ministry with, I don't care what it is, but specifically I want to talk about Walk Through Bethlehem tonight. And God's desire is that we approach our ministry with such passion, such fervency, zeal, excitement, enthusiasm, whatever you want to call it. But He wants us to have that passion to where it's like the first year we ever did it. You know? He wants us to approach it like it's the first year we ever did it. And if we're not going to do it passionately, then I'm afraid that, you know, we're like the church at Laodicea. Not hot, not cold, lukewarm. Folks, look, I don't know about you, but man, I don't want to do this thing lukewarm this year. You know, I just don't want to do it that way. And it's very easy to do it that way. And I want to challenge you tonight not to do it that way. Not to approach this thing with a lack of passion and a lack of fervency and zeal. I want to encourage you not to approach it lukewarm. But I want you to get on your knees before God this week. And I want you to pray that God will just light a fire in your soul and that it'll be like the first year you ever did it. And that God will help you to approach this thing with passion for however many nights you're doing it. Every night you'll approach it with the same passion and the same zeal that comes from within. Not something you work up in the flesh, but something that comes from within through your prayer life, depending on Christ. Why is this so crucial? Well, I want to give you this. Every believer must approach their ministry with passion. Do you believe that tonight? Why? But why? Why is that so crucial? Why can't I just approach it lukewarm? Well, here's why. Number one, because it is clearly God's will for you to approach ministry with passion. I want you to look at verse 15 again. Notice he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And then I want you to look what Jesus said. I would that thou wert cold or hot. In other words, it is my will that you be fervent. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then notice, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's the will of God that you be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent of what? Repent of your lukewarmness. He says, I want you to repent of your lukewarmness, and I would. It's my will that you approach this thing fervently. Passion is not a divine suggestion. It's a divine mandate tonight, church. God wants us to approach ministry. Specifically, walk through Bethlehem. He wants us to approach it with a red-hot, fired-up, fervent passion. All of us can very naturally tend to get complacent, can't we? And I don't care what it is. If you're teaching the Bible in a life group, you can get complacent. You can get very comfortable with it. You can get very ho-hum about it. If you're ushering, it's easy to get complacent. If you're singing in the choir, it's so easy to get complacent. You know, if you're working in the deaf ministry, it's easy to get complacent. Whatever it is, it's so easy to get complacent. It's part of that sin nature. It's one of those sinful tendencies that we all have. So you know what we got to do? We've got to view our complacency as a sin. Yeah, I said we got to view it as a sin. And we have to pray about it, and we got to overcome it through Christ. Why? Because it's God's will that you approach ministry with passion. Number two, the second reason we need to approach Walk Through Bethlehem and ministry with passion is number two, because God knows the true state of your heart. He knows the true state of your heart. Look at verse 15. And what everybody read for me the first four words. I know thy works. Then he said, and I also know you're neither hot, you're neither cold nor hot. He not only knew their works, he also knew their heart attitude that they were doing the works with. I know your works, and I know your heart with which you're doing it. As you sit here right now, God knows the true state of your heart. He knows every thought that's crossed your mind this past week. Hey, how would you like for every thought that you've had about every person here tonight or today flashed up on the PowerPoint screen? Guess what? God knows those thoughts. God knows what you thought this morning. He knows what you've thought tonight. In fact, if you look at the verse on the screen, Psalm 19:14, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David recognized that God not only heard what he said, God also knew what he was thinking in his heart. He knew the meditation of his heart. God knows the true state of your heart. You know, we can fool people around us. Absolutely, we can. But God knows the true passion level of your heart. He knows what kind of heart that you approach ministry with. You know, a lot of times we can even deceive ourselves into thinking that we're passionate when we're really not. And I think that goes back to verse 18. Look at verse 18. And Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then look what he said. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest what? See, now he's not talking about physical sight. It wasn't that these people were all physically blind. He said, no, you got a spiritual problem. And he said, you know what? You really need some spiritual eyesight. So he uses that analogy, anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. In other words, the idea there is he says, I want you to see yourself like you really are. Listen, you know, I've said this before. And I've said, you know what? Only two people know the true state of your heart, you and God. But you know what? I'm convinced the longer I'm in the ministry and the more I know myself and the more I know people, You know what? I think we deceive ourselves. I do. I think we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves that we're okay when we're not okay. We convince ourselves we're right when we're wrong. You know, we convince ourselves we got the right attitude when we got the totally wrong attitude. And you know, the Bible talks about that. It talks about how we can deceive ourselves. You know, I'm thinking about that verse in 1 John where he said, you know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I think we can do that. I believe we can be sinful in our heart and not even really recognize it. And that's why he said, anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you can really see your heart like it really is. And folks, the only way I know to do that is to, number one, really want to know the state of your heart. You know, really want to know it. It starts there, doesn't it? I got to want to know the state of my heart and what it's really in. And then number two, once I want to know it, I got to get on my knees and I got to say, God, I need you through your Holy Spirit to reveal to me what my heart's really like. There's a verse, I think, in Psalms where I don't have it on the screen, but where David says, search me and know my heart. You know? And I think that it's very easy, isn't it, to compare ourselves to other people. Compare ourselves and think, I'm okay. That's deception, isn't it? That's deception. It's easy to compare ourselves with another church member or another person and walk through Bethlehem or compare ourselves with this one or that one and think, man, I'm okay because I'm better than him or I'm better than her or I'm not as bad as him or I'm not, or, you know, and we deceive ourselves. But God knows the true state of your heart. He wanted them, he said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you can really see. He said, I want you to really see your heart the way it is, the way I see it. God said, I see your heart as lukewarm. You think you're okay, but I want you to know I see the true state of your heart and it's not okay. And I want you to know that I want you to see your heart the way I see it, God said. Have you ever had somebody take your picture and you thought you really looked good? Man, I mean, you thought you had the tie going or you had a new dress on or you had your makeup on, ladies, and your hair fixed. And guys, you got the hair combed. And someone takes your picture and you think, man, I look good in this. And then you see the picture. And if you're like me, I look over at Denise and I say, did I really look like that? Did I really look that bad? You know. And boy, the pictures just don't lie, do they? You know, and I think maybe it's that way in our spiritual life. Is that, you know, we take the picture of our heart and think, I'm okay. I'm great, man. I'm ready for walking through Bethlehem again. And then God looks at our heart and says, no, you're not passionate. You're not red hot. You're not fired up. You're not glowing. You're not intense. You're not passionate. God says, you know what? Really, you're more like lukewarm. Maybe our spiritual eyes need to be opened as they really are. You see, every believer must be passionate in the way they approach ministry. Why? Well, number one, it's God's will. Number two, because God sees the true state of your heart as you're serving. You can't fool God. But then number three, the third principle from our text, why we need to be passionate, is number three, because God detests lukewarm Christianity. In verse 16, look at it. He says, look at it, verse 16. Stay with me now. So then, because thou art lukewarm, he said, you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he's using descriptive language here to show them how he detests it. You know, and I mean, I don't know, maybe have you ever, you ever taken a drink of a liquid, whether it's milk or it's juice or it's water, and you thought it was going to be cold and it was lukewarm? And, you know, you just like, ooh, gross, you know, nasty. That's the idea here. And he's stating the fact that it grieves his heart when he sees his children riding the fence. It grieves his heart when we just kind of coast without a passionate spirit. There's a passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I'm going to bring it up on the screen. Where Paul said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of what? Devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table. You cannot pull yourself up to the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to what? Jealousy. Are we stronger than He? What's Paul saying there? Well, he's basically saying the same idea, that you can't ride both sides of the fence. The Bible attests to the truth that you cannot be lukewarm and please God, doesn't it? Lot tried to serve God and live in Sodom, and it didn't work out too good, did it? He lost his wife. He lost his kids. Esau sought to receive the blessing, but he also wanted that bowl of soup. Achan attempted to fight the Lord's battles and take the accursed thing. Didn't work out. King Saul tried to serve God, but yet not totally obey God. And he lost his throne and he died in disgrace. The rich young ruler tried to gain eternal life and keep all his wealth. It didn't work. Judas Iscariot attempted to kiss the Son and yet betray Him at the same time. Ananias and Sapphira sought to give charitably to God, but then also live a lie. And it didn't work. Demas tried to serve God and also love Satan's world system. What's the lesson? We've either got to get passionate for God or go out and serve the devil, but we are in between. We got to decide what side of the fence we're on and then get passionate about it. God detests it when we don't do that. He's like, you know, Joshua, I think he was kind of frustrated with Israel. And Joshua stood before him at the end of that book, which we know things were kind of degenerating. And they really went downhill after Joshua died. And Joshua holds him accountable, and Joshua gets up before him, and he says, you listen to me, and listen good. He said, you know what? You better choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, if God is God, serve Him. If Baal, if you think Baal is God, then you know what? You serve Baal with everything you've got. But he said, you cannot ride the fence. Get on one side or the other. If He's God, then He deserves our passionate service for Him. You see, God detests lukewarm Christianity. But number four, the fourth reason why we need to approach the ministry with passion is simply because nothing can substitute passion. Look at verse 17. Look at this church at Laodicea. Because thou sayest, now this is them talking now, the Laodiceans, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. These people had the nicest clothes. If they lived in today's world, they would drive the nicest cars. They had the nicest homes. They were rich. They were increased with goods. They'd have been the wealthiest church in town. But he said, because you got money, you think you have need of nothing. And he said, you don't even know that really you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This church was very wealthy. They thought they had need of nothing. And God saw that despite their money and their gold and their material wealth, that they desperately needed something. And you know what they needed? The thing they needed was a passion for God. Neither their money nor anything else could substitute that burning passion for God. Let me remind you, your position in the church, your position at Walk Through Bethlehem, your respect by other people in the church, what you do in the church, none of that substitutes a burning passion for God. None of it. Do not think that, well, I got this position in the church, so God must be pleased. You're like the Laodiceans. Well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and other people look up to me and other people respect me. Yeah, but do you in your heart have a passion for God? Hey, you know what? This year we can have a first-class presentation of Walk Through Bethlehem, can't we? Man, I mean, buddy, we can start them out right in here in the auditorium while they're waiting for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And man, I mean, we can have the best singing. And then we take them out of here and we can have the best acting, the best script, the best tour guides. We can have the best camel in town. We can have the best cookies they've ever eaten. But I want you to know that the chandeliers and the singing and the carpet and the AC and the buildings and the structure out there of the city and the script and the acting and the cookies and the camel, none of that. Listen, it does not substitute that passion that we desperately need as we serve our God. We cannot just go through the motions and think that it's okay. We've got to be passionate. And then I want to give you one final thought. You know why we need passion? Number five, because of the example of Jesus Christ. Because of the example of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith thee, and look what Jesus is called. He's called the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus had an all-consuming passion to please the Father. In fact, I'll bring us a verse up here, John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to, say it with me, finish his work. More important to Jesus than eating was to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. What passion, what zeal. Jesus lived and breathed to please the Father. The very essence of his life was to be a servant to the Father, to accomplish the Father's will. He was consumed with it. He was eaten up with it. He never wavered from it. Jesus' primary motivation in going to the cross. Now, I know you hear in songs, you know, that his primary motivation, his only motivation was me. You know, oh, he went to the cross and it was all because of me. Well, I understand that we like to think that, but I just want to straighten us out doctrinally here, okay? Yes, he loved us and gave himself for us. There's no doubt about that, okay? But I do want to remind you that the primary motivation and the driving passion that sent Christ to that cross was he wanted to please the Father and do his will. He said, you know what? I would this cup would pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be. That's what drove him to the cross, was to do the Father's will. He wanted to please the Father. He wanted to do what the Father would have him do. Your passion for God cannot come from trying to please me. When you do Walk Through Bethlehem, your passion cannot be to please Brother Tony. Your passion for this ministry cannot come to please your ministry leader. Your passion for God cannot come to please your life group leader or to please your ministry leader or to please your mom and dad, or, you know, it can't even come from a desire to please those that you're ministering to. Your passion must spring forth from a desire to please God, the one who loves you with an everlasting love, the one who saved you from eternal death and damnation, the one who made you his child and blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know what, folks? Just like Jesus Christ, we need to approach ministry with a red-hot passion for God. He's the example. Would you all agree with me? Christ is the example. He's the example. And you know what? He could hold these people accountable, couldn't he? Because he had that passion. And he said, you know, I can look into your heart and I can tell. You are going through the motions. You're having church. You're doing church. But he said, you know what? You're not hot. And you're not cold. You know, it's not like these people, the Laodicean people, were bad people in the sense of we think of bad people, that they were out on the town and they're partying and they're living it up and they've quit church and all that. No. These were church-going people. They'd look a lot like us, wouldn't they? They were going to church, meeting, worshiping, serving. But Jesus said, you know what? You're not hot. You're not cold. You're just lukewarm. And I would spew you out of my mouth. Be zealous and repent. You know, as we approach Walk Through Bethlehem this year, I want us to all be honest with ourselves. And I want you right now to ask yourself this question. What is my passion level? On a scale of 1 to 10, how passionate are you about doing this for God? Not about being noticed or, you know, about pleasing this person or that person or because you think it's fun. No, what is your passion level for God? With 1 being cold and 10 being red hot, on fire, as passionate as you can get. Remember, we can go through the motions. We can put on Walk Through Bethlehem. But if our heart and our soul isn't in it, we're no better than the Church of Laodicea. So we need to approach ministry for God with a true passion for God. If you're greeting, you do it with passion for God. If you're ushering, you do it with a red hot for God. If you're up here singing or playing an instrument or doing something while people wait, do it with passion. If you're in the holding area here, you do it with passion for God, like you've never done it before. If you're in that city and you're doing something in the city, you're acting or whatever, you do it with a passion for God like you've never had. If you're, you know, doing costumes, or if you're preparing food, or if you're giving out cookies, or you know, if you're working in guest services or whatever it is you're doing, and I'm sure I've missed things or so much, but you get the idea. Whatever it is you're doing, do it with a red-hot passion for God. Let's pray, let's be fervent, and let's be zealous for God. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen? Amen. Let's be fervent. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.